Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I'm your host, Julie DeMar, and this week I have Miss Leah Drew with me. Here I go. Look.
Jewish, so I guess it does fit.
Look, the bloopers for how I butcher names every show, even though I practice it, is going to be, they're going to be great. Like, I have about 56 of them now. So.
But gotta love a good blooper.
But I'm here with Leah Drew. And we're about to have a really dope conversation. She already became my bestie in my mind during our pre-interview. So welcome, welcome, Leah. And I'm going to just give you the floor so they can become your bestie just like I did.
I love it. I love you. You're wonderful. Thank you for having me, Julie. I just love your energy. I love your vibe. And I'm super excited to dive into some rabbit hole conversations today and just hopefully bring some empowerment and confidence and inspiration to your listeners.
And that's exactly what we plan to do. So if you are in your car this Monday, turn your radio up. If you are at work listening to those ear pods when you're not supposed to, turn them up anyway and tell your boss that they can go to you know where. So
this is it. This is it. I love it.
It is. Ladies, this week is just for you. And fellas, this is for you too. Okay. So don't turn me off. Leah and I are going to talk about how we can empower ourselves as women. And most importantly, men, how you can support your women friends, sisters, family members, your girlfriends, your wives, the people that you love in your life, how you can support them through them empowering themselves, because it is a journey to get there. So Leah, can you share your story with the listeners today?
Yeah, there's so many things I could share. So what am I feeling called to share today? So for me, I've been through a pretty significant journey of disempowerment. And it started with my physical body. It started with having chronic pain, chronic inflammation, chronic disease symptoms. At the age of 16, after I felt like no one was listening to me and no one was hearing my voice, we'll come back to the voice thing later, I ended up finding out that I had a pancreatic tumor the size of an orange. If you know anything about pancreatic tumors, most people don't survive them. So it was already a big thing that I had one, and even bigger thing that I survived it. And over the years following that surgery, you know, I thought that I was going to have the surgery. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be better. I'm going to go on living the rest of my life happy and dandy. Unfortunately, wasn't the case. And I learned very quickly that I was not empowered and not informed as to what I might expect after the surgery, right? And so I ended up developing severe chronic pain, severe internal inflammation, severe mental health challenges. Things were getting worse, not better. And when I went to go seek help and support, the only thing that Western medicine wanted to do was give me a pill and give me this or give me that and really put a Band-Aid over what was happening, right? Instead of finding the root cause. Through this process, I came to understand the influence and impact of emotions on the physical body and understanding the influence of trauma, unprocessed experiences, or we'll say experiences that were just brushed under the rug. Oftentimes you'll hear someone say, yeah, it's fine. It's in the past, or it's whatever. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Actually, it does. It matters a lot to your body. And so I came to understand all of this. And I've got to a point in my journey where I was like, I'm done with this. Like, screw this. I want to figure out how to help myself. I was tired of handing my power over to somebody else. And I was tired of asking somebody else for the right thing to do. I was like, I want to figure out what the right thing to do is for me. And that started my journey of taking my power back and becoming more confident in myself, becoming a more empowered self-healer, which is what I like to help a lot of people do. And in that process, it requires you to look back. It requires you to look at what's happened in your past, the challenges that you've experienced, the traumatic experiences that you've had. And when it comes to working with women, which I do a lot of, I work with men as well, just one-on-one. When it comes to working with women, we get to look at all of the challenges and all of the wounds that we have that have happened. A lot of it revolves around how culture, how society has taught us to turn our voices down, to be what everybody else tells us to be, to not fully express ourselves and not fully express our emotions and our bigness. And it leads to us like muting ourselves and making ourselves smaller, preventing us from connecting with our intuition, preventing us from connecting with our feminine essence that really allows us to tune in to ourselves and discern what is best for us. I went actually live this morning on Instagram and I had this really fun conversation on what I call my tea talks in the morning. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. It goes with the flow. That's my world. And we were talking about the difference between discerning between the mind chatter and the wisdom within the body. And when we disconnect from our feminine essence, and for any males that are listening right now, you have feminine energetics within you as well. So please don't think that like this doesn't apply to you, because this does. You may not identify as a female, but you do have feminine energetics within you. And those feminine energetics allow us to really tune into our wisdom within us. It allows us to be with our intuition. It allows us to feel our feelings fully. It allows us to fully express ourselves. It allows us to nurture what is within us so that we can therefore nurture what is outside of us. So for me, this whole journey has been really taking back my power, regaining my confidence, refining my voice, speaking my boundaries, like knowing and honoring my yeses and my no's, and really like creating a life that is in alignment with me, recognizing where society has played a role in my conditioning and my belief systems and my thought patterns and my habits, like getting rid of those and throwing them out the window, like burning them. I don't need them anymore. Right? Like the wild feminine sometimes has to burn shit to the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, I've been starting a lot of fires, over the past few years, and I don't mind. Like,
well, and there's a difference between a controlled burn and an uncontrolled burn, right? Huge difference.
Mm-hmm. For me, and I'm speaking for me, everyone, my controlled burn affected everyone who wanted me to remain the same, and they disappeared. That's where the I don't mind comes in. My uncontrolled burn pushed away everybody that I really needed to be here. And I had some things that I need to go and repair. And some were repairable and some relationships were not. So when I say I don't mind those little wildfires that I set that got rid of the people that weren't supposed to be in my village in the first place, I'm cool with it. 100%. Like,
so. And that can be super supportive, and that can also be really challenging too, right? When you really start to come into yourself and recognize your worth and honor that worth and set those boundaries, sometimes it drives people out of your immediate space that you don't want there. And other times it drives people out that you hope can be there, but they just can't walk with you. I was actually listening to a podcast the other day. It was Michelle Obama. And it was Michelle Obama on Jay Shetty's podcast. And she was talking about how oftentimes she sees life as this like hike up the mountain, right? And sometimes you get to a point where the people that you love can't keep walking alongside you. They just can't go any further. And sometimes you have to show compassion and gratitude and love as you keep walking forwards, because you can't allow their stopping to hold you back. And sometimes that can be really, really challenging as you move through your journey and losing people that were once close to you because they are no longer in resonance and in alignment with who you're becoming.
Mm-hmm. I had a conversation not that long ago. So you guys got to go back a few episodes and listen to that. Where I kind of talked about this in depth, and it was about change and how I didn't know until I started changing about the grief that comes along with it, grieving your old self, grieving your old relationships, grieving, you know, things of that nature. So there's a whole thing about that if you want to listen in great detail, because I don't want to derail Leah too much and go down that path. But it is definitely a part of the process that you have to embrace.
That does fit into what we're talking about here, though, too, right? Because grief is an emotion. And when you don't fully honor and give complete space to that emotion and that experience that you're having, you brush it under the rug. And then not only does it actually turn down that connection to your power, but it also leads, and epigenetics shows us, epigenetics is the study of your environment and how it influences your genetic expression. Epigenetics shows us that when we push those feelings and emotions under the rug and we don't allow ourselves to feel it, it leads us to be sick. It leads us to chronic pain. It leads us to chronic inflammation. It leads us to chronic disease symptoms that we experience in our physical body and that we express because our genes are expressing in a particular way.
I have a whole thing about that I experienced with a severe, I was going through this thing. Like I was going through severe inflammation. I was having numbness. Like my body, once I started this journey, I was like in the thick of a whole bunch of just mess going on. I was in rheumatology, endocrinology, neurology, like every other week I was going to see a different specialist, blood work, all this. It was everything from possible MS, Addison's, lupus, like RA. Like it was just nonstop to the point where I was like, I can't take this. I absolutely cannot take this anymore. Like it's got to be deeper. It's got to be deeper than that. Like I don't want to be on medication. I'm not even 40 yet. Like there was so much like where I was like, can you tell me something else? Is there anything else that I can be doing here? Like it took my life coach and my therapist to start talking to me about what was going on inside of me. What's going on in your mind? What stories are you telling yourself every day? What are you covering up every day? Like it took all of those conversations, the big, I talk about it a lot on the show. Julie, who are you? You know, like all these different things that I had to discuss and I had to address and stop running from in order for me to be like, okay, well, here's this part of it. Then there were some lifestyle changes because we don't even think about how patterns and things like that influence us and, you know, help us get to this point. But we don't talk about other things that are established within those patterns that aren't really mental, like the food choices we were raised on, the things that we do and don't know about physical health, exercise and all these things, movement, how important that is in your day. So I have
products you put on your body, yeah. Everything.
And you guys, like, I didn't think about any of it. I didn't think about like how your hormones can be affected. I didn't think about like any of that. I didn't know about any of that to think about that. Once I started making small changes, I don't have Addison's. I don't have lupus. I don't have issues with being chronically inflamed. I'm not going numb and fainting or doing any of these things anymore that had me at the doctor nonstop. So that was just my little tidbit today.
What was one of the like most mind-blowing realizations that you had as you were starting to like shift all these little things in your environment? What was the like one thing that you were like, whoa, I never even thought about that?
This is really deep, everybody. So we're going to go deep for a second on my end. I was covering up childhood sexual abuse. I literally suppressed it. I know it happened. I remember everything. Very detailed, very emotional. But I wasn't addressing it. Because the one time that I addressed it, I was met with such aggression. And like, you're lying. You're this. You know, like I was victim shamed to the point where I kept it. I never talked about it again. I never got help for it again. When it did come out, it came out. If I was like drunk and exploding, that was one of the root causes to a lot of things that I was carrying in my body because I became a mom and me holding on to that trauma made me so scared. So I'm going to jump into some fear-based things right now. I was terrified to leave my kids with anybody that wasn't me because I was afraid that anybody that wasn't me would harm them. And I was also afraid that if I was never around, I couldn't protect them. So I had to really look at that and look at how carrying that fear, carrying that stress, carrying that anxiety, literally 24/7, how it was just breaking me down to the point where I was fainting. And I wasn't even thinking about that could be that and how it was manifesting into different areas in my life and into my motherhood. But me not dealing with that was one of the big things that started having a serious physical effect on me.
Thank you for your vulnerability and thank you for sharing that. And you bring up two really important points here, right? Is like, because you never dealt with and healed that massive open wound from your childhood, it led to this constant re-triggering of that wound because it's still open, right? It's like a scab ripping open and ripping open and ripping open again, right? And that was through you like giving your children and leaving them with someone else. And that was this constant reminder to your body that, oh my God, you're in the stress response, right? Not just in the moment, but in the past as well. Like you were being reminded because your body remembers that. And oftentimes like the trauma is one of the biggest things that makes us sick. When people don't look at that trauma and when they don't heal that trauma, it makes us sick. But you also bring up a really huge point that comes back to this feminine and this reconnection with the feminine is that the feminine has been victimized for such a long time, right? Like if you speak yourself, you're told that you're wrong. If you have emotions, you're told to suppress them and push them down, to ignore them, that they're not welcome here. And so that's played exactly your experience. That has played such a huge role in what so many other women in society are facing. I've been sexually abused. I've been sexually assaulted. The majority of women that I know have had some form of sexual assault, some form of it. And a big part of it is because we're not being taught to connect with that feminine essence, with that power. We're not being taught to have a voice. We're not being taught to speak up. We're not being taught to set boundaries. We're not being taught to listen to our freaking body's wisdom that it has for us that can remind us whenever we tune in, hey, this is a no, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously there's circumstances that are way beyond your control. Right? Like when you're a child, there's certain things that happen to you that are beyond your control. Like you don't have that ability to step into your power and to speak your truth at such a young age. And to not be able to trust the surroundings, the people around you, right? This is a massive feminine wound that we carry as all human beings, even men have massive trust issues in others. And it leads us to be disconnected from ourselves. It leads us to be disconnected from others. It leads us to not be able to trust that we have support, that we can be safely in community. And that creates massive disturbance and disruptance in our ability to connect. And when we can connect, we get to come to know ourselves better through community, through those deeper connections with another. And so when you're triggered and when you have these wounds and when you're trying to protect yourself and you close yourself off by putting these walls around you and just not dealing with what's inside that wall, you actually close yourself off from being able to interact externally, right? But also being able to interact internally. Because if those walls are up, you can't see through the eyes of another. Intimacy, into me, I see. You see yourself more deeply through the eyes of another. You get to come to know yourself more and you get to interact with you more and come to understand, like you have over this journey of working with your life coach and your therapist, like, who is Julie? How does Julie want to interact with the world? How does Julie receive the world? What makes Julie feel nurtured and loved and nourished and pleasured and connected? And those are all those beautiful qualities of the feminine energetics, of the feminine essence that both males and females get to connect with. And when you do connect with those, you get to reclaim your power. You get to reclaim your joy. You get to reclaim your fulfillment. You get to feel freaking happy and live a life that you can fall more in love with every single day. And the thing is, like, shit's always going to happen. Things are always going to happen in life. There's going to be ups and there's going to be some really dark downs, some really deep downs. And being able to connect with these things and support yourself with the optimal tools that you have in your toolbox to support yourself through these ups and downs, community being one of them, right? You can have a really dark, really challenging situation happening and still take a step back and be like, wow, I'm so grateful. I'm so in love with my life, even though this is really challenging right now.
So I'm about to get right into it because that brings us to embracing our own authenticity. Somehow it just led us right down that little road and we landed right there.
Found it.
Right there. Boom. There it is. Look. Talk about that and the importance of it all.
Authenticity is, in my opinion, one of the most important parts of coming to know yourself, Because again, we talked earlier about how there's all these conditions, all the conditioning that you are raised with, from your parents to society to culture to religion, right? We have all these sets of beliefs and understandings and rules that are put on us that say, you need to be this way. You need to act this way. You need to look this way. Your body needs to be in the, have these curves, and you need to wear makeup on this part of your face. And this is what beauty is, right? We have all these things in the world around us as we're growing up that tell us, hey, this is how you should be. Am I allowed to swear here?
No. Yeah.
Fuck shoulds. Fuck shoulds. Because the only thing that you should be doing is the thing that feels really fucking good to you. And I'm, that was a Boston F-bomb right there. Like, you know.
I felt that. She said that with her chest. I saw it.
Right? And so part of the challenge is deconditioning yourself. And it is controlled burns of these things that are no longer you, that you can say, that's not me. That's not what feels good for me. That's not how I want to act. That's not how I want to look. That's not how I want to feel. A little example for me. As I've been on this journey of really connecting with my feminine, I felt some shame around the fact that I really didn't always want to dress super feminine. Like, I didn't always want to wear a dress, and I didn't always want to have makeup on my face, and I didn't always want to paint my nails and like do all these like things that are like, oh, that's feminine. And I'm just like, fuck that. Like, that's not me. I am a tomboy. I like to wear joggers. I like to wear a backwards hat sometimes. Like, and then other days you'll see me, and like, if you ever see me at a festival, I have like a onesie and like a bright ass tutu on, and like I prance around the festival. Like, can you see it? I totally saw you. You're like, yeah, I see it.
I can see it. I saw it.
Right. And so through deconditioning yourself in all these ways, you get to really unravel who are you? Who is your truest self? Who is your higher self? Who is your most authentic self? And it takes stepping into the unknown a little bit. It takes like trying one color hat on and then trying the other color hat on, or maybe like trying this jacket on, right? To see how you feel in it. You have to try it on to really understand how it feels. And if there is a part of you that wants to be more expressed in that way. For me, I moved to across the country. It's a whole journey that I went on. We're still on it, but I moved across the country the day before quarantine. And it was a really wild experience because it taught me so much about myself, but did so because it removed all the other stimuli outside of me, right? Like COVID quarantine. I lived with like four other people that I'd never met before. And I just had this opportunity to deep dive into myself. There were psychedelics involved. There were self-expression involved. There were all these things. And big fan of psychedelics, BT dubs. In this process, as I was in LA for a little under 3 years, I ended up connecting with this community. And I go to this event one night, and I had to step outside of my comfort zone to go to this event. I'm like, I have no idea who's going to be here. Like, I got connected with this WhatsApp group and they posted this event. I was like, whatever, like, I'm going to go by myself. Like, we'll see what happens. Right. Moved across the country by myself. The least I can do is go to a freaking party by myself. Like, come on, girl. Right. So I go to this party and we have dinner, and after dinner, they have this jam sesh. Everyone got together in this room, and people are playing instruments and people are singing music. And this one girl gets up on the microphone. Her name at the time was Jenny. Her name is not Jenny anymore. It's Zion. And I looked at this girl as she's like singing on the microphone. And I could not tell if I was like attracted to this woman or like just wanted to be her. I was like, whoa. And I was just amazed by her level of self-expression, authenticity. She was just rapping on this microphone, just like in her big, beautiful feminine essence. And I was like, whoa, I want that. And so as I'm moving through this, all of a sudden, the next thing I know is she turns over, shoves the microphone in my face, and she goes, it's your turn. And I was like, I don't rap. And she goes, you do now, honey. And so I like rap. I don't even remember what I said. I'm definitely not a rapper. That's not how I prefer to share my music.
Oh, no, hang on. I almost choked. I don't know.
I almost choked that night too. The reason why I'm sharing the story is because it put me in a different experience, right? It drove me into an unknown space and I tried something new. I tried on a hat. When I tried on this hat, I had this deep realization and this beautiful remembering that I used to sing all the time as a little girl. I would get up on stages. I would sing solos and choruses. I would sing all the time. I was supposed to compete in a singing competition and I didn't ever end up doing it because my parents divorced and I stopped going to these singing lessons. And so I never went. It brought back this memory that this was such a huge part of myself. That's played a huge role in me authentically stepping into who I am now and where I am now. Because over the last year, I've realized I no longer want to be a healer who heals through her hands and does body work all the time to make a living. I want to be a healer who heals through her voice. And it's allowed me to step into speaking. It's why I'm here speaking with you now. It's allowed me to step into podcasting and getting on stages and speaking to people and leading workshops. Like, I'm healing through that voice, which is my authentic expression of myself and my work in the world. And so again, I say this to express the importance of stepping into something new, to try something new, because without trying new things and putting yourself in new circumstances, you cannot come to truly understand how you want to authentically express yourself. And by doing that, you come into alignment with the people, places, and things that are meant for you, that will fill you up and that will bring you that sense of happiness, joy, and fulfillment in your life.
That was a whole word, everyone listening. A whole word. Okay. Oh my God. Thank you for sharing that. I hope that that hit everybody right in their spirit. Like, it just hit me in my. So I've always been, since I was a little girl, like a creative person. First of all, my nickname is Miss Talkie. I share that often on the show, but that was my nickname that my pawpaw gave to me, Miss Talkie, because I talked all the time. I've always been very creative. Can't sing, and I really can't dance like that. But if you look at me in the right angle and if it's just the right amount of light, I look like I could dance really good. So I used to
Wait,
love
can
these.
We myth? Can we myth bust this for a minute, please? Yeah. Okay, because dancing is my thing. Like, dancing has allowed me to come more into my authentic self. And there is no such thing as a good dancer or a bad dancer. Dancing, and this is again where cultural beliefs come in. Like, dancing is moving in the way that feels good for you. Doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter what's shaking and what's moving. Dancing is what feels good for you. And this is ecstatic dance. Ecstatic dance can be found in the majority of cities across the world. If you go on Facebook or Google, search ecstatic dance in your local city. What's beautiful about ecstatic dance is that you get to step into a container of people that are moving their bodies in a way that feels good for them. They're not moving their bodies to impress this person in the corner or that person over in the other corner. They're not moving their body because they think it's the way that they should be moving their body. They're moving their bodies to the music. They're shaking. They're moving their shoulders. They're moving, right? They're leading with their heart. They're shaking their hips in whatever way feels good for them. And so I want to invite you into shifting that perspective.
Okay.
Because the most beautiful form of dance is not what appeals to someone else. It's what appeals to you.
Well, I got that down. Because I got that down and I will run out onto any dance floor. I even did it. Okay. Now I got to go somewhere else.
Let's go.
So over the weekend, my goddaughter's had their sweet 16 birthday party. So I go to the sweet 16 birthday party and all the kids are out there dancing. And so me and, you know, her mom, their mom and our friends, like we've been friends since we were like tiny kids. So we go out on the dance floor. And like, I stretch because I'm like, you know, like these kids are not about to do this to me. Like, I still got it. Okay. So,
yes, you do, girl.
So we all go out there like, listen, y'all got my back. Like, we doing this? We're doing this. And we go out here. First of all, like these kids were amazing. And I watched like basically TikTok videos come to life because that's the best way I can describe. Like, every song had a dance and they knew them all. So we get out there and we try to do it. And we lost the dance battle, but look, we didn't give up, okay? We just lost, but we fought to the end. But it was so much fun, and it was such a good time. And I just, I, oh my gosh, like, I just
You
had to
lost
share
the
that.
dance
I
battle,
lost the dance battle, but I
but you
won the
won the
night because
joy.
I did, because I
Yes.
had a good time. And if anyone has ever seen the movie Girls Trip, I think it's Girls Trip. The girlfriends who were friends since little girls in that movie, they called themselves the Flossy Posse. We got deemed the Flossy Posse at the party. But that's cool though. Like
I love it. I love it
it
so
was
much. Right. And but
a good
that's
time.
the thing is like when you let go of all of the belief systems and all the stigma and you just throw yourself into it, you get so much out of it. Right. When you just surrender and say, you know what? I'm going to be me. I'm going to be fully me. I'm going to authentically express myself in all the ways I want to because it's what feels good for me. I don't care about Julie Sue over in the corner, right? Not you, Julie, but the other Julie Sue over there. You know? Susie in the corner over there, right? Like you don't care what can't care what Susie thinks. I mean, you can, but if you do, it's gonna hold you back from really connecting with yourself. But yeah, like dance is medicine. And when you can just surrender and let your body move, like it's literally impossible to not have a smile on your face.
And I might add before we switch gears that it is really hard to stay in your chair when you hear Cash Money taking over for the 99 and 2000. Extremely hard, okay? I was there when it came out. I was in high school when they took over for the 99 and 2000, and it still has the same effect in 2024 that it did in 2000,
Yep,
okay? I'm
yep.
on the floor. Feet might hurt the next day, but that night I was there.
Dance has a really, really, it's beautiful medicine. I was actually at a podcasting conference a couple of months back last year. Podcast Movement, great conference. And at the end of the night, me and a friend were there, and there's like hundreds of people in this lobby, and there's a DJ in the middle of the lobby. No one was dancing. And I'm like, wait a minute, like this is wrong. One, like, how do we shift this? So of course, me and my friend go into the middle of the dance floor and we just start dancing like absolutely ridiculous humans, the way that we love to dance, like we love being ridiculous. But everybody else was just like watching. And the majority of people like didn't dance. Some people started like moving a little bit in their space. A couple of people came up on the dance floor and danced with us. But I did manage to make people smile. And I did notice that by us being in the middle of the dance floor and fully expressing ourselves through movement, it put a smile on other people's faces and it brought joy to other people's faces. Whether they were laughing at me or with me, like, I don't know. I don't really care. But it's beautiful what happens when you step into that full authentic expression of yourself. Like, right? Like you let other people by being on the dance floor to giggle and to what do they call you?
Flossy Posse.
The Flossy Posse, right? And so like obviously that brought a sense of like gig like laughter or enjoyment or like play to them, right? Because if they're like, oh, you're the Flossy Posse, like they're playing with you. And we lose touch with that sense of play. And so when you can drop into that, not only does it like make you happy, but it makes other people happy around you too.
It does. Everybody wants to kind of get here, or I feel like, okay, so I'm just, this is just me speaking for myself. I know when I was in the raw stages of things, I was looking at this, you know, because you're on the internet and you see all these great motivational speakers and life coaches and all these people with all this positive talk. And you're like, wow, how did they get there? How do I get there? And you're just looking at all of these challenges that are like, that you're sitting in right now. So, what do you have to say about that? Like, can okay, this will be two parts. Can you share some of the challenges you experienced? Because I don't want people to also look at if they are looking at things the way that I did, like, hey, how do you get there? Can you get there? Is it possible? Because right now I'm just looking at what's in front of me. So, what were some of your challenges and when did you start getting here?
That's a great question. Well, you talked about kind of that victim mindset earlier, and I used to be so damn deep in the victim mindset. I was creating so much misery for myself in my life because of where I was. I was hating on my body. I was hating on my every part of me, my face, my stomach, my butt, like everything I could find, I could wanted to hate on. I found myself being a victim of all the things that happened to me, and, you know, had a lot of grudges that I held towards other people, and was like, oh, this person did this to me and they hurt me. And in reality, like, hurt people hurt people. Like, I wasn't able to even like look past the fact that that person was hurting themselves, you know? And it took me a little adult temper tantrum where I chucked my phone at the floor and it ricocheted off the floor and it smashed a flat screen TV to like break me. broke me. Yep. So I found myself on the floor just like losing it, just losing my shit. And I was like, this is not it. This is not it anymore. And, you know, I suffered with my family. I suffered with my beliefs in myself. I suffered with my work. I suffered with my body. I suffered with my health, my mental health, my physical health. Like, I suffered in almost every way I can think of. And I got to a point where I was just like, again, like, this isn't it. And I need something different. And what do I need to do to have that? And at the time I was dating a man who held me through, I think it was the evening after that temper tantrum. And I was still like kind of having the temper tantrum, but also just like not on the floor anymore, having the temper tantrum. And I was just in misery and I was in this victim space and couldn't get out of it and was just sunken into my thoughts, and my thoughts were becoming me and my energy was becoming my thoughts. And he sat there with me for 2 hours, maybe more, until I followed his direction and stood up and put my hands on my hips and stood in a power pose and started repeating the affirmations that he was giving me. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I'm worthy. I can create my own experience. Things along those lines. And then he handed me a book. It was Mindset by Carol Dweck. And it was the first book on personal development that I ever picked up. I still have it in my bookshelf. She follows me around just in case I ever want to pull her back out again. But this book gave me the opportunity to step into the observer role. And in this book, she lays out different ways of thinking and talks about a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And she gave all these different examples in relationship and work and like your beliefs in yourself. And I just had to sit there and like swallow my pride and like just take the medicine. Cause I was like, ooh, that's me. And that's me. And that's me. And I was like, oh, I don't like it. And that was really what like started bringing me down this journey of personal development. That event was 2016. So a little under 10 years ago, because of how much I was suffering with my physical health, and my chronic disease symptoms, I like threw myself really deep, really fast, because I was so committed to like figuring out how to make this experience not be what it is anymore. I have this activity that I run my clients through, and I have them look at this bullseye, and they put themselves in the middle of the bullseye. And all these rings are the people, places, things, experiences in your life. Right? The things that are closest to you, those rings are the smallest. You can only fit so many things on those rings. They're going to influence you the most. The things that are outside, right, on the outer rings, they're larger, but they're further away. So they're not going to influence you as much, right? That reciprocal relationship where you influence each other. And I started moving things that were inside to the outer rings. I started bringing things that were on the outer rings closer to the inner rings. I really started shifting my whole world. My relationship started to change. My relationship with others, with myself, with my work, really looking at what is it that I want to do. It was around that time where I stopped working for someone else and started working for myself, because I wanted to do all the things that I wanted to do and not be told by somebody else that you can't do that. When I saw, and my intuition was telling me that this needs to happen right now. This is how this person needs to be supported. Yeah, I started healing my relationships with my parents. It took me some time because there is a lot there. There's a lot there. but like really starting to restructure how I communicate, how I set boundaries, what my values are in relationships and with intimate and non-intimate relationships. I mean, let's say sexual and non-sexual, because most of my relationships are intimate, because I just, intimacy is a part of me. I like to go deep. That's what we do in my life.
My friend the other day, I was telling one of my partners the other day, I have this conversation with my friend. And it was actually like a really serious conversation that I needed to have with her. Like there was something that I saw and no one was saying anything to her. And I needed to step up and hold her in what I saw. And in the beginning of the conversation, I said, so I don't want to go too deep here, but, and then like insert conversation.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the conversation, she's like, and you said you didn't want to go too deep. And I was telling my partner about this and he was like, are you kidding me? There's literally no other option with you. Like it's deeper. It's nothing. Like there's one way, girl. It's like, I feel seen. But anyways, yeah. So tangents aside, those are a lot of the challenges that I faced and how I started working on overcoming them and when I stepped into that journey.
When you said like that was hard, that like the thing that flashed in me was like when I had to tell myself like, you're a mean girl. That was hard to be like, so Miss Talkie is known. Miss Talkie 2.0, but Miss Talkie 1.0 from back in the day is known for reading. Okay, like it can go both ways with me, and I had that very, you know, catty, witty, come at you, real housewives dialogue down to a science. And I used to just snag people as soon as I felt like they deserved it. And I had to like really like stand there and be like, you're a mean girl. There's nothing funny about that. There's nothing cool about that. There's nothing nice about that. It's not a badge of honor. It's not okay. There's nothing strong or, like, I told myself so many things, like, it's not secure. You know, like, why are you tearing someone else down and pulling them into a space like that? Because you feel like that. And that was like, oh, that was the most horrible conversation that I had with myself. Because it was a really harsh reality that I had to deal with. So now I'm very, very intentional with my words in a nice way. And sometimes I'll be talking and I'll like stop for a while because I'm really trying to think about, I actually really think about what I'm going to say before I say it, because now my intentions are not to tear people down and hurt them. But a little tidbit about that is that's how I was talked to and treated my whole life as a child. So I just perfected it and carried it into my adult life, everybody.
And you looked at those patterns and you were like, one, why are you treating others like this? And it sounds like you got to the root of, well, you're feeling that way and you're wanting people to be pulled into that same space as you, right? Mm-hmm. And then two, looking at where did you learn that? And those are two super important questions to ask yourself when you're reprogramming habits, belief systems, ways of being and thinking. Is looking at why, what is the root in you? Why do you want to engage with this? Why do you want someone else to feel this way? Why is that the way that things need to be? And two, again, where did you learn that? Because when you can identify where you learned it from, it throws on this light bulb and you're like, oh, I didn't teach myself that.
Yeah.
Or maybe you did. But if you did teach yourself that, like, why? Why did you teach yourself that, right? Like, maybe, for example, like, maybe there's a situation where you're unkind and mean, but maybe you were bullied your whole life. And so maybe that was your way of, like, fighting back, right? It's that armor that you put up, that we all put up to protect ourselves, right? And so you learn things throughout your life, whether it be for self-preservation or because someone or something else taught you that's how you're supposed to be. And then you get to choose. Do you want to continue engaging in it or not? And that's the thing. It always comes back to a choice. You always have a choice. You can continue staying exactly where you are, feeling exactly the same way that you're feeling right now, engaging in all the activities that you're currently engaging in that might not bring a sense of feeling good, or you can step slightly to the side, make a small change, and start having a completely different experience. What do you, you get, you literally, like, do you, I don't know. And I always come back to that. And I'm like, this is why I have this like weird ass relationship with challenge and darkness. Cause I'm like, oh, I don't want it, but I also really want it.
Because bad things can make you feel good, people. Like, in that. And I tell myself that too. Bad things can make you feel good, but that is just a temporary thing. That's just going to add on to a whole bunch of other junk. So, okay. I have to ask you something. And this is the importance of, so why is embracing your feminine so important? And how is that the key to unlocking your true power?
I think that there's a lot of reasons, right? When you start to embrace your feminine, right? The feminine is, it's the feeling part of you. It is, like we talked about, your intuition. It's that sense of community, connectedness. It is your enjoyment. It is your inclusion. It is your surrender. It is your love. It is your tenderness. By being with your feminine, you get to be more deeply connected with yourself. And through being more deeply connected with yourself, you then therefore get to connect more deeply with the world around you. As you connect with this feminine essence, you get to find your voice. You get to speak your truth. You get to live authentically as you. And when you do, there's power in that because there's no external thing that has control over you. And so as you connect more deeply with that feminine essence, and again, for men and women, like men really deeply need this as well. And this is where the importance of having community comes in, because men need the brothers and like women need their sisters, because through each other, we actually get to rise and create possibilities that would not have been possible otherwise. We get to lean into our dreams. We get to have reflections of who we are. We get to be supported in a way that feels amazing and creates the space for you to expand beyond what you ever knew possible. As you connect with this feminine essence, regardless of your gender, you get to take back that confidence. You get to take back that voice. You get to take back that power, that sensuality, that all of who you are. And then you get to be all of it. Like, and that's one of the things that I love supporting others with in communities and one-on-one spaces, like just being, giving you permission to be all of you, all of your bigness. Like, I want all of your bigness on the table right here. Like all of it, your mess, your beauty, your courage, your strength, your loudness, your aggression, your frustration, your irritability, like all of it. I want all of it here. Because when you have a space that gives you permission to be all of you, you get to learn so much about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And this conversation, ladies and gentlemen, has been nothing but gems. The entire show has just been like, yep, and there's another one. And there's another one. I'm like, gonna get my DJ Khaled on right now. Yeah! And another one.
And another one.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Oh my. Okay. Now I got to ask you the big show question before we wrap things up, because I just know it's going to be another one. So
this brings me back to my high school days and like being on the dance floor, and another one. And you look over at your friends and you're like, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I grew up in the 90s. So like, you can only imagine what that was like. Oh, it was a good time. Yes, yes, yes. When people used, yeah. One thing before I ask the big show question, though, kids these days, like back in the day, this is what I said, and like everybody. So when I used to go to parties back in the day, it's like really like me grinding on a guy that's like backed up on a wall for support. And that was like dancing. Oh, and yeah. Like going to the Sweet 16 party, like kids were giving each other space. They were like, it was like watching You Got Served, TikTok version. Like they were like giving each other space. They were like doing all these dances. They were hyping each other up. And I'm like, yeah, that's not what we were doing back in the day. Like we were throwing it in circles. So
well, and this comes back to the whole thing with the feminine, right? We've learned to please the masculine. We've learned to cater to the masculine. We've learned to please everyone else before ourselves, right? And like stepping into ecstatic dance for me, I had to get over that. I was like, oh, dancing is not grinding up against this dude and pleasing him. Like, and then pleasing me through pleasing him. I'm like, ooh, this is just pleasing me now. This is scary. This is cool. I like this. But yeah, you're right. Like, I don't see that as much anymore. And I think that there's a lot of reasons for that, right? Because like back in our day, like you could sneak, you know, into a club like under the age of 16 and like it's fine. Like that's what you did, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like 30 by the time I was 16. It was a mess.
I get it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the big show question. I told you guys Leo was my bestie. So what does, I want you to define selective hearing for yourself. What does it mean to you?
I think selective hearing to me, what's coming to me is it coming back to what we talked about earlier with all the conditioning and all of the things that people tell you you should be and how you should look and how you should act, right? And I think selective hearing to me is the ability to be discerning about the way that you're thinking, the way that you're acting, the way that you're talking, the way that you're living, the way that you're connecting, the way that you're loving, right? And be able to discern, when is this your truest and highest self? And when is this actually coming from an external place, an external influence? And I think selective hearing is being able to be selective with what it is that you do receive. And there's a difference between receiving and adopting. And so I think that selective hearing is really being discerning in what it is that you do receive and allow yourself to adopt through that hearing.
How can... And everyone, this will also be in the show notes, but Leah's also going to tell you right now how you can connect with her so that you can reach out and talk to her about some potential services.
Yeah, would love to share. So first of all, I would love to gift your community a free workshop. It's called the Awareness Seeker Workshop. It is an amazing way to just get some perspective on where you're at right now, because in order to create change in your life, you have to see exactly where you are now. And then you also have to look back and see what led you to be exactly here right now. So this workshop guides you through just taking a step back, hitting the pause button, and becoming the observer of what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And what do you want to start creating change around? So I will hand you off that link so that you can share that with your listener. And then regardless of whether you choose to do any work with me or not, I just want every person that's listening to know that you are welcome in my world. I love connection. I love humans. I love talking like you, Julie. I love learning about what's happening in your world. So shoot me a follow on Instagram at mindbodywithleah. You can also find me on Facebook, Leah Drew. I'm most active on Instagram. And then, reach out if there's any questions that you have. I'd love to just like know where you heard me. If you found me on Julie's podcast, Selective Hearing. And if you are interested in learning a little bit more about my services and what I might be able to support you with in the journey, I offer a free discovery call. And there's many different things that I have in my world, from group experiences. I have a beautiful women's community and women's membership that is a lower ticket offer for people that aren't ready to step into that deep dive one-on-one work, and a beautiful opportunity to connect with other amazing sisters to hold you and support you in the journey, because again, we're not meant to do it alone. And I have many other things, including one-on-one work. So if you have any questions, if you want to just learn more, come hang out with me. I do a bunch of free lives on social media all the time. And I love you. So just come be with me.
Please, I swear. Like, I was looking forward to Leah. Me and Leah had a dope pre-interview. And then we got here and just had an amazing conversation like I knew we would. So please reach out to my bestie. And if you missed all that, go to selectivehearingshow.com, click on the resource page, and Leah is right there. Boom, big, beautiful picture. Say Leah's website, click the button, or drop down in the show details right now and click all the links that are there, and you can be Leah's bestie too, okay? You want her in your life.
Yeah, come be my bestie.
For real though, if you're ever in Colorado, hit me up. Let's go dance together.
Look, oh yeah, we can. We definitely can. I actually want to come to Colorado. So, and you know, I'm from Michigan, so the snow is not a problem. So everyone, until next week, this is Selective Hearing. And Leah, thank you again.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, who is listening.